Okay, well, that's not the best way to start our return. Oh, okay, we're still,
Sports Time Radio,
just away
all
from
sports, all the time.
All right. Well, not the best start for our return, but hey, we're here. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, oh, and of course, this is Sports Time Radio. If you'd like to call into Sports Time Radio, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so there will be one sometime tomorrow. Just bear with it. Dan is sick, and I just had surgery, so something will pop up there. Just hang tight. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget there's also the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan Z-Man with three E's.
Oh, all right, Dan. Well, apparently they are having the baseball winter meetings, but they're doing them virtually. And there was some interesting news coming out of there, a couple involving the one local team here, but the latest signing – and I got a little chuckle out of this because I just heard it on Intentional Talk, and you'll see why when I say it. The Royals signed a 2-year deal with Carlos Santana. You know, earlier in the offseason they signed Mike Minor. So I'm not, you know, being that it's the Royals, I'm not really sure what they're doing. What do you think? That you like Santana going to KC?
Well, some of the things I read about it, the one thing cracked me up, the fact that, you know, in the AL Central, Carlos has actually hit the most home runs against Kansas City. They didn't really give a time period, but he has 31 home runs and 93 RBIs. If they had confirmed that with saying that's what he hit in KC, then, you know, to me that's kind of a I wouldn't say a big deal, but it's a good deal. You know, kind of like if I had an example, but it totally slipped my mind. There was somebody that pitcher that the Cubs picked up from Colorado. You know, with that 3-year deal. Well, he faded so far into the background, I just forgot his name. You know, if the Cubs were in the West and had 18 games with the Rockies, it's a pretty good deal. Because he had a thing being at home in Colorado, and he won all the time. So, you know, one of those things where had Tyler Chatwood put up those stats with the Cubs, and then, you know, the Rockies went and signed him, you know, that would kind of make it a cool deal. Just like here, I think it's something to add to it, but, you know, unless they were to say it was all in Kauffman Field, I think that would be pretty cool. But, you know, they're saying that the new owner is just trying to make a splash and, you know, maybe not necessarily rebuilding a team and tearing it down, but trying to get something going for them. What do you think of it?
No, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a good signing for them. It's an upgrade. And, of course, what made it funny for me was any time a deal involving an Indians player or former Indians player is on Intentional Talk, the first thing Chris Rose does is immediately point out the negatives. So, like, he pointed out how Santana had, like, one of the worst years of his career last year. You know who else did, Dan? Christian Yelich. And I'm willing to bet nobody's going to hold that against Christian Yelich. So,
well, he wasn't signed.
You know, as far as 2020 goes, no team is going to consider anything any player did, even if they had had a great year. Nobody's going to care. You know, they're going to go back and they're going to look at what a guy has done over his career. And what may actually help here is obviously, like normal, Kansas City has a ton of young players. Santana is one of the most patient hitters at the plate and is always among the league leaders in walks. So if these guys are willing to, you know, talk to him and get into his mindset, they may be able to learn some pretty important, tips on taking pitches while he's here for these couple years. So, you know, there may be kind of a plus with this. You know, they've got him at a reasonable rate. It's 2 years for 17.5. You know, it's not a bad deal. And, you know, with the way the market is going to go, I'm sure Santana was pretty happy to get an offer right away and get out of it because, people have to remember, we don't know if the season's going to start on time. We don't know if there's going to be fans at the stands. You know, you can guarantee that no team wants to set its payroll until they start getting some of these numbers in, you know, because they can't take the losses like they did last year by not having fans. So they're going to have to figure something out. So I think it's going to be a very long process, especially for those guys who are looking for 25, 30, 30 plus million dollars. I just don't know if a team is going to commit that right away, no matter who you are. So it's an interesting, you know, again, like I said, I'm sure he's pretty happy to get an offer and get off the market.
You know, the biggest thing that, well, I found it interesting, you know, because you automatically think Kansas City, small market, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you brought up the Mike Minor deal and then this deal. And apparently they're really not going over the top and they're not spending too much as, you know, all the money that they've spent, they pretty much have accumulated that. You know, they had over $23.5 million coming off the books. And with this deal and Mike Minor, that's $19 million. And then I didn't realize that they picked up Michael A. Taylor as well.
Yeah. So.
So, I mean, not a bad
yeah.
deal. You know, like I said, they're not making, you know, well, kind of like what you said, they're not making, you know, super huge moves. But I think it's an effective move for them, and it could help maybe keep them more competitive. And I mean, you know, Chris Rose could say what he wants, but unfortunately for him, his team is just in the dumps all the time. Even when they're, you know, doing great and doing well.
Because he's Indian. You know, I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. I understand, you know, you don't like that, but too bad.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other thing I found interesting, and now this was yesterday, the Angels went out and got themselves a pretty good closer. They picked up Raisel Iglesias from the Reds. They also got cash in the deal for Noe Ramirez, a right-handed pitcher, and then a player to be named later. Now, I want to touch on the Reds here first, because you remember last year, they were everybody's love child. All right? So now the Reds they're going to lose Trevor Bauer. So they're going to lose their best starter. They've now lost their closer. They non-tendered their best setup man in Archie Bradley. And if all the rumors are said to be true, they want to deal Sonny Gray. What the hell is going on here in Cincinnati that they're pretty much just dismantling their pitching staff. Are they planning on beating everybody 10-9 and 15-14, or what's the idea here, you think?
That could be it, or they're having a fire sale because they lost too much money. They don't think they're going to recoup.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's as good as I've heard. And, you know, like Iglesias, he was really solid last year. He made 22 appearances, 2.74 ERA, and picked up 8 saves during the regular season. He had a career-high 34 saves before that, but the ERA was a little up in 2019. So we'll have to see if he kind of comes down in between. But, you know, we're only talking about a guy who's going to be 31. Let me double-check that. Yeah, he'll turn 31 right after the new year. What I found really humorous about this is, obviously, I watch way too much MLB Network. So, you know, just one of those things. They start ripping the Angels for not going and getting a starting pitcher. I was like, wait, really? That's what, you know, I mean, they didn't give up much here. You know, Ramirez was he had a 3 ERA in 20 appearances for them last year. Let me click over here, Dan, because I know you and I went over this before when we were talking about the Angels. Oh, this is always so fun to find for me. Here we go. Last year, Dan, here you go. Ty Boutre was their big-time closer, had 5 saves. He also had a 5.81 ERA to go with him. Some of their other bullpen ERAs were 4.05, 8.10, and 4.50. Plus Hansel Robles, who they recently non-tendered and started off the year as their closer, finished with an ERA of 10.26 last year. Think they needed a little bullpen help?
Oh, yeah. Just a little.
But yet, oh, God, why didn't they get a starter? Well, A, there probably aren't a ton of starters available right now on the trade market. And B, they needed bullpen help. So they went out and got a quality bullpen piece. And again, they didn't give up a ton to get it. So it drives me nuts when people do what they want and then they complain about it.
Well, and I'm confused, Big Jack. Is it December or March 25th?
Right. You know, it's not like they can't turn around and make another deal or find somebody. So, you know, and I know the Angels did make another deal last week. They picked up Jose Iglesias, the shortstop, for Orioles. So their new general manager here, this Perry Minicina, I think it might be pronounced, he's been active really early. So, but all right, let's hit it up here locally, Dan, as overnight. The White Sox made a really interesting move. They pick up Lance Lynn from the Texas Rangers in return for Dane Dunning and a minor leaguer by the name of Avery Weems, who I believe is a left-handed pitcher. Yeah. You know, I think they may have given up a little bit too much because Dunning looked really good last year, but I understand the move. It makes perfect sense. What do you think of this?
It's one of those where you're kind of going, all right, well, they didn't sell the farm to get him. It's an interesting move. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, Lance Lynn, quality player, quality pitcher. But, you know, with his age, is this the most appropriate move you could have made? And is this because your manager is an old white guy who's probably just old, and this is what old guys do? No,
well,
but you know, to
you
me,
know,
it's one of those where it's interesting. I don't. Yeah, and you're hoping it's better than the Nomar Mazzara.
Yeah. You know, I'm really surprised that didn't work out because Mazzara had been a really good player for the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
But, I know he had some injuries and all that, but back to where we are here, you know, this is definitely the sign of a team who looks like they're going to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, because Lynn is he'll be a really good number three starter where you need him. So the White Sox are looking at a rotation of, obviously, your guy Lucas Giolito at the top. Dallas Keuchel will be number two. You'll plug Lynn in at three. You got to guess Michael Kopech is four. And then Dylan Cease will probably come in at five. So if Kopech is the real deal, and we still don't know, the jury's still out there, they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You know, like you said, they're going for their number three guy. So, you know, it's a good fill for that position. Or, yeah, well, that position, role, whatever we want to call it. And I think he's solid. And he's not afraid to pitch. And he has an old-school mentality. So he's going to go out there. And you've got to wonder if that's one of the things we'll see less of this year with the White Sox, and that is the criticism that Ricky got in pulling his pitchers too early.
Yeah, and, you know, the other plus is the fact that, obviously, Lynn has worked with La Russa before. They were in St. Louis together. So, you know, this will help Tony. He has a familiarity with him, you know,
yeah,
that he
right.
A lot of the other. You know, Lynn has logged the most in the American League the last year, going to Texas. He's got more innings pitched than any other starter. So, that's exactly, you know, what you're looking for, you know, when it comes to kind of a situation like this, you know, you get a number three who can go out there and give you those kind of innings. It's, you know, that could be a really big factor in, you know, how the team does and where they kind of end up. But Dan, the White Sox weren't done. Just before you and I headed on air, it was announced that they have signed Adam Eaton to a one-year, $7 million deal with an option for 2022.
And this is where we bring in the Nomar Mazzara talk. It didn't work. I'll let you go first. You go first.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those things where, man, the jury is really going to be out for me on this. And, you know, we're going to go over the exact same things we always do with Adam Eaton. When he's healthy, he's very good. The problem is he's never healthy. He's been in the majors for 9 years, well, technically 8 full seasons. He's played in 150 games or more 3 times. Last year, he played 41 out of the 60.
Wow. Yeah.
So, it'll be great. Like I said, if he's healthy, this is going to be a fantastic 2-year signing. No doubt about it. But
well,
there's so much.
If player option?
It's a team option. You know, there's so many ifs that go with this. That it's tough.
Well, it is one of those moves that, if it works out, it's kind of ironic, don't you think?
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, it'll work out if he stays healthy. But
yeah.
That's been the big question about Adam Eaton his entire career.
Yeah, and, you know, and internally, business-wise, whatever you want to call it, you've got to wonder, if the White Sox took this contract out and were able to get some kind of insurance, so to speak, on it, you know, in the event that, well, you know, there's that other lawsuit that the Major League Baseball has going against their, you know, the insurance companies, which I kind of laugh. It's not a really a lawsuit. I didn't look into it, but usually it's, you know, kind of what you do when it comes to insurance and filing claims and stuff like that. It's just part of the process. But, you know, you've got to imagine that they're putting the insurance on this contract in the event that he gets hurt again. But not only that, you look at it for a guy with the team option for 2022, that, sorry, I got distracted, that if it doesn't work out next year, they don't have to pay him again. And, you know, the grand scheme of things, $7 million, $7.5 million to kind of get back a guy that they traded away and just, you know, took everything that the Nationals had. I don't know. I think it's, I still think it's a pretty decent deal. And it's not one that's going to kill you. But, of course, there's the but, Big Jack. Who do the White Sox, what do they do to keep that position in line in the event he does get hurt? You know, because you're taking a nice bat out of here.
Well, you know, I mean, there have been some reports that they're still interested in talking to Michael Brantley. So, you know, he could possibly, you know, fill in, you know, obviously just a short period of time. But, you know, they do still have Adam Eaton, who's one of the best defensive outfielders in baseball. So, or not Adam Engel.
Oh.
So, you know, they would have a piece to plug it if needed. But, you know, and, you know, I like the fact that it's going to cost him $7 million to look at him. You know, and, you know, maybe he'll stay motivated and help if he wants the second year of that deal, which I think he saw as 8.5.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's they're not – like, they're not going nuts, so I don't think it's going to kill the team at all. But this definitely takes them out of the market for, like, a Jock Peterson or a couple other guys. I mean, do you still think they'd go after Brantley?
Well, you know, possibly, because Brantley basically is a DH. So. You know, and now that it doesn't look like they're bringing James McCann back, and obviously Edwin Arcanas is allowed to go into free agency, you know, they could use a guy like the regular D, you know, Philip outfielder.
Yeah, well, Encarnacion was just there to get Manny, wasn't he?
You know, I think the original plan was to hit some home runs, but you know, it didn't, you know, well, obviously with only 60 games, he never really got hot like he had in some years. So, you know, and now I was, you know, kind of looking here, Dan, and this is something that hasn't shocked me at all. The minute I saw that I'm really surprised by this, that the Cubs decided to non-tender Kyle Schwarber, I knew he would get a ton of interest. And so far, the Brewers, the Blue Jays, the Angels, and the Yankees have all shown interest in Kyle Schwarber. Interestingly enough, both the Brewers and the Jays want to look at him as a possible option at first base. What do you think of that?
That's not a bad deal at all.
So, you know what I mean? God, imagine Schwarber in Yankee Stadium with that 100-yard right field porch. He may hit the 50 home runs we were promised.
Oh, in New York? sorry, yep. I was on mute. He made it 60. You know, this is sadly to me, though, when you take a guy, I guess, why even bother being into the ground, being in the horse? This is where Theo screwed the Cubs because he couldn't let go.
Yeah, I believe that.
So, and, you know, and he even said that he felt like him and his analytics-driven stuff kind of helped ruin the game a little bit. And I could see where he's coming from. And it's hard to say. It's like, I think you should be using all aspects of the game, everything available to you. But when you go in and you try to drive a team 100% analytically, and you get so stuck on that you can't let go of guys. I mean, we've gone over it so many times. The minute that World Series was over, Kyle Schwarber should have been on the market. Because you knew that he wasn't the greatest option to be out there in left field or in any outfield. He screwed all his chances at being a catcher. You know, I was called stupid because I made the joke that if he was behind the plate, he would have never got hit. You know, he would have never had that injury. And then, of course, you know, the Buster Posey comment has to come up. But, you know, and it's funny when I counter with, well, there's a rule for that, so Kyle wouldn't be getting hit like that. So, no, it wouldn't have happened. And look, you know, I, at the end of the day, no matter what the result was, Kyle Schwarber shouldn't have been in the Cubs outfield. He shouldn't have been playing every day in the outfield. And then, as time went on, he wasn't playing every other day. He was only playing against right-handed hitters because he can't hit left-handers. So now you've taken him from, you know, you're dwindling down any kind of shot at making this kid go. And, you know, it all started in the minors. When the kid's not catching, how is he going to be a catcher in the majors? And then you're slowly making that decision as he's in the majors where he catches a game here and there. You know, when you have too many catchers to begin with. So then you plug him in the outfield and, we'll just put him here, knowing full well that there's still no hope, you know, while Theo's tenure up until obviously this year, and we don't really know for next year, but the whole time there was really no option for the NL to have the DH. And 2016, you know, 2017, Kyle Schwarber should have been – I don't know if this would have worked. You know, obviously, looking back, you don't know what Rick Hahn was looking for. But Kyle Schwarber should have been in the White Sox uniform while the pitcher we got back came up to the Cubs. It didn't work out. You know, but if he did well in the South Side, then, you know, it would look bad on Theo. You know, oh, you traded our guy to the South Side. Now we have another, you know, I can't think of his name, but another trade like the Cardinals back in the day. So, you know, I think while he worried about his reputation then and trying to be good and with the fans and the World Series win and everything, it hurt him in the end. While he's still going to go down and have all these things with him, you know, of course, the asterisk that we'll put next to his name is the fact that he found a loophole in his system and he milked it for 15 years, and it worked. And then the other owners and players are, you know, however it came about, they got rid of his system. And so Theo retires from the game, and it's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'm so surprised. What is he going to do next? Oh, he wants to be an owner. Well, I mean, Big Jack, you and I both know the way the teams are selling these days. Theo did not make that kind of money. you know, unless he gets together with a huge investment group, he's not owning a Major League Baseball team anytime soon. You know, and I kind of foresee him taking on and going up with, if he doesn't take some kind of appointment jobs, special assistants or whatever, I think he's going to end up working with that group that Billy Beane is working with. Because that's what they do. They do the analytics. But for it to be a surprise for, you know, so many people that have CEOs leaving the game was not a surprise for you and I, because we knew his system was done. It was over. He cannot repeat what he's done. And he did it in the perfect sense. He took two teams that had alleged curses and broke them. Although he'll go down for such greatness here in Chicago, he actually did hell better in Boston and brought them three World Series, even though the third one he wasn't even there. So, you know, it's just, it's frustrating. And, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, but we've been giving you the hindsight 20/20 since it happened. So,
yeah, no, and this is the reason he left. If you're wondering why Theo Epstein left, this is the exact reason. You know, because I guarantee you he didn't want to DFA Kyle Schwarber. You know, there's no way Theo Epstein would have allowed this on his watch. You know, because he's invested in Schwarber being, you know, his guy. So, you know, he was a reach at the pick Theo made because he took him really early because he could hit, and he knew the hitting would translate. But, yeah, there's no way he would have been able to go through these kind of moves that the Cubs have to make. So that's why he walked away. Also, the fact that after having to make these moves, you're looking at a team that probably isn't going to be very good. And if you notice in Boston, Theo left before the team got bad. So, you know, the Cubs, you know, while the Cubs have had a couple rough seasons, they haven't been bad. There's a good chance next year that they struggle to make 500. All right, there's not much on this team. I looked at the projected lineup today. It features Nico Horner at second and David Bodie in left. That really warmed my heart. So, they're still looking for pitching, and it's just December, so there's a lot of ways to fill it out. But they DFA'd quite a few guys, so my guess is they're not. They're not going to spend a ton of money. So it's going to get ugly here really fast for the Cubs.
Yeah, and, you know, again, hindsight 20/20. Who should be your Cubs starting left fielder? Eloy Jimenez. But
yeah. So
he was traded.
You know. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they piece it together. But no, you know, like I said, I'm not shocked at all. A lot of teams want to take a look at Schwarber, you know. But I got to tell you, if I'm him and the Yankees are serious, and they're going to give me every day at bats, I'm going to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to give me a chance to hit in a band box on a team that's going to win. Yeah, sure. I'll come play for you. What are you going to give me? So, but yeah, I thought that was interesting that he seems to be the DFA'd guy who's getting the most interest right now.
Well, and you know the name value. And everything that Theo put into Kyle Schwarber's name is so when you see that, your mouth just drops.
Yeah, and you know, fortunately, finally for Albert Almora, they DFA'd him too, so he can go get a fresh start somewhere and not have to put up with the tags that the Cubs kept hanging over him when people were wondering why he wasn't playing more. You know, he can finally get away from all that BS and maybe it won't haunt him. And, you know, hopefully he'll get a shot to go out and play somewhere for somebody and, you know, show the Cubs what they were stupid about because, you know, we all know it. And, you know, unfortunately, Schomburg Stu bought the Kool-Aid on Almora that the Cubs were selling and used to argue with me every time about him. So...
Oh, you know, and it's rough. And I think what makes it harder too is the fact that they just flat out weren't making any decisions with some guys. You were just leaving them in limbo.
Right.
And, you know, Almora might end up turning turning into the Royals right fielder.
This is the thing that bothers me, Dan, about he knew this was coming. How many times did I come on air last year and say it's time to trade Alberto Almora?
Yeah.
But yet we sat on him. We sat on Kyle Schwarber. Now they're both going someplace for nothing in return. You know, even if you'd have got a prospect who was a Class A starting pitcher, at least you got something. But no, I'm going to hang on to my guy like grim death. And then when I leave, this team is going to suck. And again, you know, whether, you know, I know all anybody's going to say, yeah, but he won a World Series. Again, yeah, but he won just one World Series with a really talented team. You know, and it's great that he did that. You know, break the curse, celebrate. Why didn't we win more?
And with the longest banner raising in probably baseball history, sports history for that matter.
Yeah. You know, and that's always going to be my question is why was there only one? You know, and why are the fans satisfied with one? You know, and it, you know, you got to wonder if the players were satisfied because they didn't play hungry after winning it. I mean, you look at these lazy bastards who got to get my commercials in and all that other stuff. They didn't care about baseball after that.
Well, no, Theo turned them into stars, and that's what they were doing.
Yep, along with their manager. So. But, yeah, I just thought that was interesting. And, we'll see where Schwarber ends up. But I think he's going to go on to be a pretty good player for somebody. You know, and again, he's not going to hit for a high average. But you never know. I mean, if he rolls into Yankee Stadium and hits 250 or 260, I think he could get that 40 homer number. You know, of course, depending on it, stuff they would have to play him. So obviously, he would be a nice little presence in the Angels lineup. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a nice little end for them. So, you know, we'll have to see if he's one of the next guys to come off the board here with all the interest he's drawn.
It's just, I think, you know, as being a Cubs fan, you know, like you said, you're watching Almora, who I don't think would have brought you as much as Kyle Schwarber would have in 2017, but you would have gotten something for him. And same thing with Kyle Schwarber. There would have been so much more. And now you're left with a team that really doesn't have anything in the pipeline coming up. And, you know, for all of Jason McLeod's wonderful scouting and whatever, they only drafted hitters and they didn't develop any pitching. So, in the end, you know, your five-year plan, it doesn't get an A+ just because you won one World Series. You know, they continue, and Jed did it too. He continued in his press conference to push the fact that they were a playoff contend, you know, a championship contending team, because essentially anyone who makes the playoffs is a championship contending team. But when you break it down a little bit more, that's a championship contending team makes it to the championship round. And they only did that once or twice, and they only won it once, you know, so where, and I hate to do the comparison with the Dodgers, but when the Cubs and Theo came out with their five-year plan, Stan was like, there's no five-year plan. I mean, it took them 7 years to finally win a World Series. But at the same time, you know, he wasn't willing to tear it down and rebuild it. And that's been my biggest gripe since day one, is we are not talking about the Kansas City Royals or the Pittsburgh Pirates. We are talking about the Chicago Cubs, one of the richest teams in Major League Baseball. Only behind Chicago is, you know, considered the second city, but there's the three largest markets in the country, Chicago, LA, you know, Chicago being three. And when you are at that echelon, the Cubs are not down there with the Marlins. The Cubs are up there with the Yankees. You know, the Yankees have their own network. The Dodgers, I forget how their network works, but, you know, it's essentially theirs. The Cubs are doing everything that the highest grossing teams should be doing, the best teams are doing. So why would you go into a rebuild mode when that's what the biggest teams don't do? You know what I mean? And they're at a level where they should never rebuild anything. And what Theo's left them with, it's pretty much back into start it all over again. You know, I'll never agree to just blow it up and start it over again. It doesn't work.
The one thing that I continue to forget to point out, because it just slips my mind, not only did they only win the one World Series, Dan, they only got to one World Series. There was never another opportunity. Like you mentioned, it took the Dodgers 7 years. How many trips did they make in those 7 years?
Like
was
five.
It three or four?
Three
right.
or four.
So they were there. This team made one trip and were never really close to going again. The year before they won, they were close. They were in the weren't they in the CS against the Mets, right? The Mets knocked them out.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could have been back to back World Series team, but after they won the World Series, they were never close to going again, and you just have to ask yourself why. You know, and then obviously, you know, Theo's a smart guy. He knows the rules. You and I know the rules. We knew the Cubs were going to be in this spot the minute he brought those guys up and kept those guys up. They're all going to come to arbitration at the same time. They're all going to hit free agency at the same time. You can't keep them all on the roster. What did he do? Kept them all on the roster.
Kept them all on the roster.
If you would have dumped Schwarber after the World Series, you would have got so much overvalue, the fans probably would have been okay with it. Obviously, you know, you don't want to see a guy who had some big clutch World Series hits go. You know how fans are.
Yeah.
The return you've gotten could have set you up to go again. And again, like even last year with Almora, trade him off for a low-level pitching prospect. You know, even if he's the 30th pitching prospect on the team, get somebody who down the line may fill in as a middle reliever. Get something. Again, now we get nothing for a player that you haven't used in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
What did it do on the roster?
Well, and then, you know, you're left with making Jed having to make the even hardest decision. Who are you left with? You're left with Chris Bryant, who's going to bring you back anything. And, you know, like you said,
right.
Oh, but Big Jack, how do you know the Cubs would have made out big if they would have traded Kyle Schwarber? And all we have to say is Adam Eaton going to the White for
Adam
the White Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at some of the deals that were made before. If you would have dangled Kyle Schwarber in front of an American League contender after the World Series win, you would have cashed in.
Big time.
You know, you probably could have gotten two good prospects and another, a third, that may have turned into something. You know, a la what the Sox did. Remember what the Sox got for Eaton. They got Giolito, they got Ronaldo Lopez, and they got Dane Dunning. They just turned Dane Dunning into Lance Lynn. Giolito is a Cy Young contender. That's a pretty good deal. If they can straighten Lopez out, I'd love to see them try to make him a closer with the stuff he has. You know, he'd be fantastic. Just watch, go out there and throw gas and get guys out. So, you know, maybe Tony La Russa will help him out because he has experience with starters becoming relievers, Dennis Eckersley. so, you know, we'll see how that goes. But imagine getting that kind of deal for Kyle Schwarber. You know, what if you had two pieces that were ready to step into your rotation right now? We wouldn't be talking about you, Darvish, Kyle Hendricks, and Alex, the pitch with Alex Mills.
Yeah.
So, you know, and yeah, and again, you know, I'll say it every time. It's great they won the World Series. But why did they only win that one, and why did they only go to that one?
And not only that, that was Uncle Bob's biggest take on it. Oh, damn, the man, you don't understand. You are not, you're not, you know, not that I wasn't a true Cubs fan, but you're not willing to make a sacrifice so that your team is a championship contending team year after year after year after year. And then year after year after year, Uncle Bob stopped. That Kool-Aid just emptied his system completely to where he was,
but
like,
yeah,
you know, and never said, he never said you were right, but because, you know, that's what Uncle Bob, that's how he was. He, nah, yeah. But no, you know, but he lost it, and he isn't even a baseball guy, and he even started to see, you know, even from the little things I was saying, I'm like, yeah, but you said they were going to be a championship team year after year after year after year, and that I needed to put my fandom away and accept that. And then all would be right in this world, and, you know, everything would be gumdrops and lollipops or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, that's
took.
You know, and that, you know, and again, that's the tough part with what they did. And you wonder, I'll never understand this. I would love to know what Theo was thinking when, you know, you looked at that, because obviously he's a smart baseball guy. You know, I mean, he knew how to manipulate those rules to build contenders. You know, I mean, he's got the track record. You've seen him do it in Boston. You see him do it in Chicago. Again, I don't believe he'll be successful if he tries it again, because like Dan has mentioned, the rules have changed, but you've got to wonder why he got so attached to this team and not the Red Sox team, because he made changes in Boston. You know, if you look, the Dodgers try to get better every year. That's what good teams do. You don't bring back the same roster year after year after year. You don't have to make big moves, but you have to make small tweaks that help your team.
Did I lose you, Big Jack? I'm here. I don't know if it's time to just call the show. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk today. We apparently lost Big Jack and his train of thought. Oh, we should be back tomorrow. Sports Time Radio. sportstimeradio.com.